B-Pod Studios.
That's an app.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
7-0, buddy.
Woo! Good night for the Patriots offense with 33 points overall. The offense accounting for 31 of them as the Pats will improve to 7-0 for the third time under Bill Belichick. They did it in 07, of course. They did it in 2015. And as Stidham takes the knee one last time, and the final 28 seconds elapsed in the Meadowlands, the Patriots have swept the Jets for the 11th time under Bill Belichick in his 20 years as the New England head coach.
All right, plenty of stuff to talk about. Although, unfortunately, not really the competition within the game, because there was none. We had a lot of nights like that, a lot of games like that. There was really just nothing there in terms of pushback or competition. And I think you can get another one of those this week. I saw a stat on ESPN, Mez, that the Patriots have won their last 20 straight against first and second-year quarterbacks. It's Mayfield, this is his second year, right?
It is.
Yep.
So, last night, I think the biggest story was coaching. I think Sam Darnold was completely unprepared. Sam Darnold and the Jets were completely unprepared for what the Patriots were going to do by their coach, Adam Gase. And so the way Darnold looked is a reflection of the preparation of the coach. And I think this week, as bad as Gase is, I think it gets worse with Freddie Kitchens. And you're going to have another one just like that on Sunday in Foxborough.
The greatest coaching mismatch in NFL history, if you ask me. Seriously. And I'm not sure that that's even an exaggeration. Really, name one that Vince Lombardi against who? Like, is there even anything remotely close?
So, yes, let's just go like when you had, say, Rod Rust in 91 and you went up against Shula or...
Okay, Rod Rust was a coordinator in the NFL and a good one.
Yeah, but as a head coach?
Okay, but again, at least he had some knowledge of how the game is played on one side of the ball.
So you're saying Rod Rust greater than Freddie Kitchens?
I don't think it's even close.
I think Rod Rust went 1-15?
Yeah. 1-15, I'd take him over Freddie Kitchens in a heartbeat. I don't think it's even close. You give the same roster to both guys?
Okay, hold on.
Rust does better.
Remember the bro coach in Miami, Dan Campbell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell v. Bill Belichick.
Close. I still take Campbell over Kitchens.
I mean, look, I'll give you a bunch. There's a bunch of AFC coaches on this list now.
You got to discount the roster now, right?
I'm not talking about the roster.
Valuable, okay. Man.
Dan.
But there's a tendency, I think, when you say Kitchens, you say, well, I'll take Kitchens in Cleveland. Uh-uh.
No, just the coach.
You get just the coach.
Right.
Kitchens, boob. All world-class, Hall of Fame, all-time boob. Against Belichick, greatest coaching mismatch in NFL history. I would like someone to find something comparable to me of this clown who literally got pulled out of a cab for crying out loud and is now standing on the opposite sideline from Bill Belichick.
Yeah, Belichick's had a few.
Yes.
Hi, Dan. He's gone against like Cam Cameron as an interim guy.
He was a coordinator.
Perry Fuel as an interim guy.
I think he was a defensive coordinator.
So you're saying Kittens was, he went straight from running back coach to head coach. He hasn't even coordinated anything.
He was the running back coach. As you said, he was in charge of four people last year. Four. You could find a guy working at some 7-Eleven or a CVS who's had more experience managing people than Freddie Kitchens.
Even Rich Kotite has a better resume before he got named.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, I think this is borderline unprecedented. I have to go back and look to see if some stupid franchise in the 60s or, you know, it literally elevated some guy from trainer to coach when he went against Lombardi. Otherwise, where are you going to find it? I'm not kidding. I think it's the greatest coaching mismatch in NFL history. I'm not sure it's even close.
Well, the Patriots are favored by 12.5 from what I've seen. So.
Lay the points.
Yeah.
it should be 20.
Lay the points. You know, blow them out. Back to your calls. As they will most teams this year. Michael in Florida. Yes, Michael.
How you doing, guys?
Good. What do you got?
It was interesting. From the very beginning yesterday, you noticed that obviously Bill Belichick noticed that there was no way that any of the Jets receivers could get behind the Patriots defensive backs, and that's why he was able to go to the zero blitz.
So I don't think that he determined that. I think that was the game plan because it was their first series that he threw that stuff at.
Yeah, it was the game plan because he knew going in that they couldn't get past him.
Yeah.
This week it's going to be different because you got Odell Beckham Jr., who plays for Cleveland, as you know, and he's a receiver. He could get behind your guys.
So, Mike,
you won't see the zero blitz as often. You know, I mean, it was almost in every play.
So this is Michael in Brookline, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, bailed out to Florida.
Well, I'm not far from your old haunt down here.
Where's my old haunt, Michael?
Boca.
Boca. I spent some time in. I did a stint in Boca.
Yeah, you know what? While you're over there, you may want to check out the Orchids.
That's about hour north, hour and a half north.
That's a short drive in Florida.
I'm sure there's closer locales for you, Michael. But I just got distracted.
Odell Beckham.
No. I'm not telling you it's going to be the same game plan. No, he's not going to do the same game plan 2 weeks in a row. He'll throw something else at him that Freddie Kitchens is completely unprepared for, which means Baker Mayfield will be completely unprepared for, and they won't be able to adjust to it because they're not smart enough to adjust to it, and you'll throttle them. It won't be zero blitzes. It'll be something else. It'll be zone blitzes. It'll be zone coverage. It'll be mush rushing, two guy, whatever. I don't know. It'll be something, and Cleveland will have no answer because Freddie Kitchens is not – I sound like Dave O'Brien now –
Freddie Kitten
is
the Brown.
He's not equipped to have any answers.
Oh my gosh! Again, I can't imagine what this is going to look like from a coaching perspective on Sunday night. Cleveland might give him a better game than the Jets because Cleveland has more talent. But from a coaching standpoint, oh my gosh! Talk about it is going to be a bloodbath.
Tony and Stoneham. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good man.
I got to talk to Maz before you hang me up. I didn't know you were in Boca. I built homes in Boca Point.
Well, there you go. You know, yeah. Tony, you're older, so most older people have spent some time in Boca.
Listen, first of all, you got to lay off Brady, okay? Brady, you complained about him when he didn't come to practices that he didn't have to come to. He wins a Super Bowl. All you do is complain and complain about this guy. He's not going anywhere. There isn't a team out there that he's going to go to and go down when he's playing with the best team in football. Now, the other thing is the defense is helping this offense. We do need help, and this Sanu is going to help us. If you check all the games, look at all the positions that the defense has put the offensive in to score points.
Oh, yeah, Tony, there's no question that the offense is behind the defense, but that's okay. Most every team has some sort of, I call it an imbalance, but your offense is good enough, more than good enough. So I wouldn't say you're imbalanced, but every team has one side of the ball that's usually better than the other. And you sort of assume the identity of that side of the ball. It's okay. So the offense this year is behind the defense. You're going to win more games on D. Can we all accept that? I mean, I said that a month ago. I think Brady's been slow to it. So yes, Sanu's going to help that, but I think they had enough even before Sanu.
I mean, if they play like they played last night, they have enough.
And scheme. Get guys open with scheme, which is what they did last night. Get the ball out quickly. Death by 1,000 paper cuts, short possession game. You can get all guys, and that's Brady's strength anyway. Just play that way.
I mean, if you're going to be tilted one way or the other, I prefer it this way. Now, I know the league is different, the game is different, but the way they play defense, and that's in this era, which to me, it's not just all about, you know, beating the stuffing out of another team and beating them that way. This feels like a highly skilled defense.
So Tony was talking about, again, the Adam Schefter comments about Brady setting up to leave after the year. And, you know, would it be somewhere else? If you're asking me, I think it's retirement more than playing somewhere else. Because I've talked about that a lot. Like, I can't fathom that Robert is going to allow Tom to play for another team. I just can't feel that Kraft would ever let that happen. So if Brady wants to keep playing, if push comes to shove, you know, it'll be here. I think so, but it is setting up like Brady's last year here. So my guess would be retirement. I would bet retirement over him being a Tennessee Titan, something like that.
So again, when you say Robert's not going to allow it, meaning...
but the Sanu move, I think, plays into this, like all in this year, all in, you know, the Antonio Brown thing blows up in their face. How much money do they spend on that guy? And that failed experiment, the whole thing. And to not just, you know, say, okay, we tried, we have enough, we're just going to stand pat to go out and send a second, we really kind of overpay for a guy like this. is it just tells you that it's just a sort of another sign of how they're treating this year. It's different.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you want to tell me that you think all the signs are pointing that way, I'm not going to argue with you.
If he
the
walks
second away, for Sanu is high, Mike.
If he walks away after this year, whether that's here or to another team, I'm telling you, I think to another team is not likely either. But if he walks away, all the signs are going to be there. We're going to say, well, look, he did this. He put his house on the market. For crying out loud, he signed a contract that automatically voids the last day of the league year. What do you think he's setting up for? They can't franchise him for the first time ever. He sold his house. His trainer sold his house. Like, he bought a house in Connecticut. They went all in on a jackass like Antonio Brown. They drafted a receiver in the first round. They made a trade for a receiver. I mean, like, it all, we're all going to look back at it and say all the signs were there. Like, you know, you could do with Kyrie, and you should have done in real time. If you just, you know, got your head out of your green ass, you would have seen it in real time. But in hindsight, you look back and say, all the signs were there for Kyrie leaving. You'll do the same thing with Brady.
Yep. So when you say, though, that Kraft won't allow it.
He won't allow him to play for another team.
Okay, they don't have control over that
anymore. I know.
And what if he's mad about the video? So make a prediction.
Brady retires.
I mean, that's where I'm leaning
to. He's going to another team.
But I don't rule out the other team thing. I mean, he wants the Patriots to sweat.
I mean, that's the odds-on favorite. I think that it's all in play. Him keep playing here, him playing somewhere else, him retiring.
I mean, at the very least, what it does is, you know, the way Kraft could keep him is, Tom, I'm not going to match the offer, but I'll come reasonably close. And then Brady will say, fine, get reasonably close and I'll stay.
Yeah, that's it.
And so Brady's going to play somewhere else the last year, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's Dallas.
Me neither.
I'll tell you, Colin, that sound still holds up. That was like 3 years ago. It holds up. It stands the test of time.
2016.
It's the sheer enthusiasm.
So Brady's going to play somewhere else the last year, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's Dallas.
He's like practically jumping through the mic to get that takeout.
We continue.
Belichick was not supporting Brady.
Continue with your thoughts right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Again, let's just boil this down to the basic facts once again. When we talk about Tom and his future, let's look at some simple things. Has he put his home for sale?
Yeah, but...
Hold on, Steve. Has he put his home for sale? Yes. Has his trainer put his home for sale? Yes. Has he set up his contract to void after the season to become a free agent? Yes. So if he's selling his home and his trainer's selling his home and he's voiding his contract, what does that tell you?
That's Adam Schefter last night. It's not the first time he said that stuff. But to reiterate it here in week 7, I find interesting, you know, and Adam is the foremost information guy in the NFL. So if he's confident, even just, you know, he's not into the speculation game usually like that. So
he's got info.
Yeah, you got to take that seriously. Got to take that seriously. So what does it mean? What does it mean? And you just put the whole thing together, all of it. Even Brady allowing that Netflix thing to go forward that we talked so much time about yesterday, that on some level he and his people let that go and let that happen and let that air. And that speaks to a change in the relationship with him and Kraft on some level, where in the past that never would have happened. And I just think it's all part and parcel of something. And again, it's just really hard to predict. I mean, who would have thought, even the rosiest of Patriots fan, who would have thought, you know, Brady would still be doing this at 42? I mean... but he is, so like it's hard to predict. But Schefter's right; all the signs are there. If he walks away, you know, no one should be surprised. No one should be surprised if this is the last. And does the Sanu, you know, thing fit into that? So we continue and we wrap it up here with your thoughts. Here's John and Bolton with a crazy theory. Yes, John.
Yes, a landing spot for Brady. How about Pittsburgh? I think Rosenberg's done. Pittsburgh offers him a 2-year contract for $50 or $60 million guaranteed.
60 or 70 is the number. 30, 35 a year. There's just certain teams I don't see.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's one of them for me. I can't see him playing there.
I don't see we played the Steve Young song before, too. It's like, it doesn't matter that Montana finished with the Chiefs. No one holds that against him. He's a Niner. No one cares that Jerry Rice played with, what, Seattle, Oakland, Denver?
Denver, yeah.
No one remembers and no one cares. He's a Niner. So, like, I get that part. And I agree with that part. Except there's certain teams I just don't see. He ain't a Colt. He ain't a Steeler. That ain't going to happen. He's not going to go to Tennessee. It's going to be a team that matters or a market that matters. The Bears matter as a team. L.A., Miami matter as a market. Like, that just sort of feels like what it's going to be. If that's what it is.
And I look at it as much as he has to have there's got to be a coach and an operation that has a clue. So, like, I just look at Pittsburgh and say he doesn't fit. Philosophically, he doesn't fit.
Same with the Chargers and same in Miami. They all got to retool quickly. But
see, now, if it weren't for the city, I would say I could see him playing for Frank Reich. Like, that would work. That would work. I bet that would work. But I don't think he's going to Indy.
Okay, Maz is still looking for the take annulment from his Jets take. Go ahead, Steve, in Rhode Island. What do you got on that?
Hey, guys. So I have to question Murray's pushback on the take annulment. I want to know, how is it that he gets to make a take at the beginning of the season clearly stating that there are only three great teams in the league?
So true.
Then, when those teams completely sucked, he proceeded to change his take and then change that take and then change it every single week. He restates his three great teams based on the most recent performances, which is what Maz is doing, really. So I say to Maz, if he doesn't let you annul this take, just make it a fluid one like him and just pick a different team than the Jets that will compete.
I like the idea.
Whether you're looking at ESPN or CBS or any of the sports websites, you have your power rankings week in, week out. And those power rankings always change. They're fluid, like my list. I never stated that one of the dregs of the league would compete for a playoff spot like Maz did with the New York Jets. And so adamantly, the way that he did. We all know that lists are fluid. Mine is a list. It's a fluid list. The teams change. I never said anything as asinine as the Jets will be a playoff team. They will contend for a playoff spot.
But it also doesn't take anything to say who played well last night and who didn't, and then change the list based on what happened last night. Yeah, like sort of look at the whole landscape and have some foresight. And I'm not telling you it's easy, but I'm just saying, like, just to go show up the next day and say, well, they played well and they didn't, and so this is on my list. That's not really doing anything. That's just telling me the scoreboard, who won and lost last night.
You know,
I thought you always go by the scoreboard. So
yeah, but not week to week.
Well, that's the way I work. You work differently.
In retrospect, what I meant to say was that the Jets were my sort of dark horse / Cinderella pick.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
I really like them. I think that they could come out of the woodwork. But
if you had to bet one, Celtics in the NBA Finals or Jets in the playoffs, who do you pick?
Jets.
There.
See, you're dug in. It's not getting annulled.
Are you digging in on that?
Oh, yeah. I didn't say. You said if I had to pick one.
Right, I'm saying what's more likely to happen? Jets contend for the playoffs or the Celtics make the NBA Finals?
Jets.
More likely to have the Jets make the playoffs or the Celtics make the NBA Finals?
Ooh, tougher.
No, that's what we're talking about, so I misstated it before. What's more likely to happen? The Jets make the playoffs or the Celtics make the NBA Finals?
Coin flip.
You got to have a take here, Tony. I'm not allowing this.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Stu.
Okay, fine. Jets. Now, look, probably the Celtics. Okay, after what I saw last night, probably the Celtics.
Thank you. Okay, but did that.
So, which is it?
Celtics.
Thank you.
Okay. Happy now?
We'll do more on this tomorrow.
Dink.
As the NBA season opens up tonight, Lakers, Clippers.
Yeah, let's go.
That's tonight, and then the Celtics open up tomorrow at Philly. They will win tomorrow night at Philly, and that'll be the first indication you say, oh, Felger's onto something. The Celtics are going to come out of the East.
LeBron's first hamstring injury happens tonight. Let's go.
But back to your football calls. Brody in Maine. Yes, Brody.
Yeah, first, real quick on the Brady thing. I think you got to narrow your landing spot if he is going to keep playing down to a coastal city. He's not his mamby-pamby crap ain't going to go over him in the Rust Belt. You know what I mean? So for business reasons sake, with expansion of TB12, it's got to be along the coast. But with regard to the defense, so, you know, like I heard a lot of, like, not necessarily from you guys, but who have they played? And I think they proved themselves last night pretty well. But I wanted to compare them real quick to the 2000 Ravens. The Ravens, after week 7, the collective records of the teams they had played was 19-27, so 41% win rate, versus the Pats, where it's 12-32, so a 27.3% win rate. But okay, if you go back and look at the points per game, yeah, and you sort of the Ravens allowed 10.7 points per game versus the points per game of the offenses they played against at 15-1. So that's a differential of 4.4 points. I know I'm giving you a lot of stats, Roger. Just let me finish.
Yo, you're killing me. Finish.
And then, I know. But then the Pats on average have allowed 3.9 on defense when stripping out the special team scores versus their opponents.
Got it. Point.
So the point is they've allowed negative 13.8. So it's three times what the Ravens did. So I just think they're sort of...
Let me stop you. Statistically, you're going to have arguably the best defense of all time. Well, whatever those numbers you just threw at me that just gave me an absolute popsicle headache, I'll grant you, your numbers are going to be through the roof. And I'm not going to hold strength of schedule against you because, as people pointed out to me, the 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens played a weak schedule too. Fine. Roster. You know, who's your Ray Lewis? Ed Reed was not on that team at that time. Okay? Rod Woodson was. Hall of Famer. Up front, remember they're inside? They had Sam Adams and Saragusa.
Yeah.
Inside that defense, and they played that Buddy Ryan 46, so they played like the Bears defense, I think, with those two guys in there.
That defense was ridiculous.
Peter Boulware was one of the linebackers there.
He was nasty.
Tremendous.
Chris McAllister was a corner who was a
good
Pro
player.
Bowler stud on the outside. So it's like roster. It's like player to player. I think the sum of the parts on this Patriots defense is amazing. Individually, do you have a single Hall of Famer? I mean,
Hightower, maybe?
Team
Hall of Fame.
I don't think there is, actually,
I'm not sure.
You mention it.
I'm not sure. And again, I think the 2004 Patriots defense is better than this defense, personnel-wise. You're going to have three or four Hall of Famers on that unit. Never mind perennial Pro Bowler studs, where I feel like this is, and Murray mentions this all the time, you got a rotation of guys. I mean, how many guys are in and out of this?
All right, everyone's fresh.
It's a tremendous defense. Is it okay if it's not the best of all time? Are you going to get sensitive about that?
I mean, to me, Baltimore and Chicago are hard to pass. But if they go 19-0 and they allow on average 7 points a game at the end, then we can have the conversation.
Statistically, they're going to be there. With the best defenses of all time. Now, if you want to use your eyes and someone tells you they think another defense is better, are you going to get upset? Is that going to make that person like a hater? Like some sort of troll? If they say the Ravens defense had better personnel, or even the 0-4 Patriots had better personnel, is that some sort of a-hole now?
Yeah, Felger, you're a hater.
Is that what's going to become?
Of course it is. Right?
I'm telling you, that Ravens team in 2002 or 2000, oh my God, they were ridiculous. They won their last 11 games. Seven times they held teams under 10 points, including the playoffs. I mean, it was insane how good they were.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts after Murray's update. Another big trade across the NFL. You'll get that information right here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
New England with two down linemen.
Oh, get him.
And here comes Collins on a blitz. Darnold quickly and low. Oh. And he throws an interception right into the hands of Devin McCourty.
They said it in pregame. We're going to get him. They heard the comments this week. You're going to try and find a weakness and exploit it. Well, they baited you in the blitz to your right side. That's your front side. You've got to be able to read that.
Darnold, who takes the snap, drops back with a twist up front, throws off the back foot to the end zone, picked off by Daron Harmon. Harmon lands across the goal line.
They got this kid scared.
Boom.
He's looking where he thinks blitzes are, and they're not. They're backing out. Start our buses. Can we go home now?
Seeing ghosts.
Snaps it back to Darnold. He takes it. There's a blitz coming. He's hit. He floats one across the middle. Intercepted by Gilmore.
Nice throw off the back foot again.
Shotgun snap to Darnold. Backs up. Hands in the pocket. Throws off the back foot of the end zone. Intercepted. Leaping in front of the intended receiver, the former Jet Terrence Brooks. Another back foot throw. Picked off by the Patriots.
Attaboy, Sammy D off the back foot all day. Knock, knock. Guess who's here? The boogeyman coming.
Boom. Seeing ghosts.
Stewart putting that together. I mean, to me, the Jets allowed him to be mic'd up in the first place tells you all you need to know. The judgment involved in that, your 22-year-old second-year quarterback in his 16th career start against the best defense in the league on Monday Night Football. No one stopped to say, guys, what if he gets his ass kicked and says something stupid? No one thought to think that? Because he got his ass kicked and he said something, you know, that's going to be used against him for a long time. And, you know, it just filed this under another, you know, example number 10 million of Bill Belichick would never do something like that.
And why the Jets are the Jets.
I mean, why the Jets are the Jets, for sure.
It would take thinking, which that organization rarely, if ever, has.
Boy, they were inept on so many levels in that game last night, you can't even begin to count them.
So apparently they're all bent out of shape now that it aired. Just reading here, Adam Gase said, I think we'll be, well, so he was asked, about the vetting process while singling out ESPN. He said, yeah, I think we'll be looking into that pretty hard. I don't know if I've ever seen that where somebody that was mic'd up was basically, well, where a comment like that was allowed to be aired. He said, it bothers me. It bothers the organization. Obviously, we're going to be looking hard into our cooperation going forward. Like, oh, wah.
You don't get to have a taste of the Jets. Oh no.
No, but the point is, it's like, why'd you put that on your rookie quarterback in the first place?
It's a good point.
That's just brutal. It just shows you, like, again, the example I used before, when N'Keal Harry gets healthy and he's out on the field for a Sunday night game or a primetime game in the league, you know, you have to mic somebody up and the network requests N'Keal Harry. I think Bill Belichick is allowing that thing anywhere near his young player. Nowhere near.
Yeah, or Jarrett Stidham.
Oh, my God. No shot.
It'd be Devin McCourty and go F yourself. That's what he would tell me.
Or you get Matthew Slater and right. Go F yourself. Or, you know, I'll put it on Josh or something. You're not getting one of our young, you know, like, no way. But the Jets not only allowed it to be put on Sam Darnold, they apparently welcomed it. Idiots.
Oh, he's coming off the big game against Dallas. We got our franchise QB back. We want to help promote him. This is the future. And it blows up in their face. It's like the most Jets
typical
thing ever.
Seriously, they were 1-4. They were feeling it. And they said, yeah, mic him up. Who the hell would have bought into that team at 1-4? Like,
did you hear Van Noy after the game when he found out about this? Let me see if I can pull it up.
Yeah, like, no, I did. I heard it.
But still, I just found it fascinating because, like, he thought the reporters were joking. Because, like, another question later, he was like, wait, what? He really said that? Like, because it is. It's such a bad look.
Well, no, but just let me, here, I can recreate the Van Noy quote. It's a perfect Patriot. That guy is you. That guy is the Patriot fan in a uniform. That's all he does. Jeff in the car. What do you got, Jeff?
Yeah, hey, guys. I think the public perception on Tom Brady's team-friendly contract is that, you know, he's doing it to benefit the team as a whole. But no, he's doing it to benefit himself because he wants the offense built with high-end talent. And I think Tom Brady's diva attitude is, well, earlier in the season, is related to the fact that he's seen the offense as this elite unit, but he's not seeing anything with, you know, any contributions that will pad his stats.
So,
Yeah,
Jeff, so, I think he puts it on the list, meaning, well, you're giving me no weapons and my contract's low and, you know, you're supposed to, you know, if I give you money back, you're supposed to put it around me. But I don't, that's never stopped him in the past. They've been doing that for 15 years.
Well, so I was just going to say, how many times are you going to fall for it before you call him on it? So that's the thing with Brady is you go back to 06.
They didn't pay Deion Branch. They didn't pay David Givens. They didn't pay this guy. They didn't pay Wes Welker. They didn't pay, you know, like, it's been going on his whole career. So, like, you can't say now I'm all pissed off because you won't surround me with talent. That's the way it works here.
Absolutely. Like, at some point, but you just got to look at Brady and say, no. You could have stopped playing ball because there was a pattern of behavior as it pertained to them. So you could have done something about it and you chose not to. Now, that said, at the end of the day, I think what Brady cares about in the big moments is having the right team around him. Right? And whether that's defense or offense, he wants to win. I do think he puts a premium on that. And right now, it appears as if he is awakening to the reality that his defense is something special.
Tom and Quincy, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Hey, I was calling real quick. I like the Sanu move. I would have rather offensive line help, but that's whatever. They got someone, so that's fine. I'm looking forward to next Sunday, though, because as horrendous as Donald was last night, like that line, I think his rating was like 3 point something, you're going to see the maybe duplicate of that or worse from Baker, because I've never, that kid has crashed back to earth so hard it's not even funny. He's thrown 11 picks already. He might throw 11 picks next week, because that kid's ego is so through the roof that he'll be like, he'll be getting picked, he'll be getting sacked, he'll be losing fumbles, he'll be getting knocked on his ass the entire game, and he is still going to be trying to chuck it, because you're going to have Odell Beckham bitching and moaning that he hasn't had a completion all day long. So at the end of the day, I think the spread's at 10. They are going to get absolutely demolished next Sunday.
I think the Browns are going to get smoked.
I mean, remember, Mayfield had a game like last night basically against San Francisco.
But listen, Mayfield's not going to be worse than Darnold. Darnold's quarterback rating was 3.6. So what, you're telling me Baker Mayfield's going to have a 2? It's just, you can't. You know.
No. It'll be better than that.
Okay, so it's going to be better than 3.6. Darnold completed 34% of his passes. So Mayfield statistically is going to have a better day. He can't have a worse one. I'm telling you, you can't have a worse day.
Well, so he's got the 11 interceptions. Do you know some of the other stats around the Cleveland Browns coming into this game?
No.
They're top of the NFL in penalties with 57.
Number one.
They're top at penalty yardage with 506. Seems like a lot. Second in the league in red zone turnovers, 3. And fourth in the league in drop balls. So when you say it can't get worse.
Well, how does it get worse than 0 points and a 3.6 quarterback rating? You got to try really hard to be worse than that.
So just
who is that coach again?
Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah.
I'd like to know how many times they fumbled, because I'd be willing to bet that number's high too, if I had to guess. But against San Francisco, Mayfield was 8 for 22. For a rating of 13.4.
Okay, still 4 times better than what Darnold did yesterday.
I agree. He's thrown 11 picks, including one in every game. He's been sacked 16 times. Suck. All across the board. It's going to be like feeding him to the lions on Sunday night.
Kittens to
Sunday.
Slaughter.
There's John in the car. Yes, John.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I just had like a thought, and it may be a real big reach here, but what do you think that in the ultimate kick to the nads to Bill Belichick, Tom Brady may want to go to San Francisco and beat out Jimmy G for his job?
Why is that a kick to the nads of Belichick? I don't know if that's a kick to the nads of Belichick.
We'll go after his favorite son, second favorite son.
I think Belichick, if we're just playing, playing around with this, I think Belichick wants a chance to win with another guy. So if Brady wants to go anywhere, Bill would take it as a, he'd be fine with it. I think. I mean, I don't know. Like, we're playing that out.
Yeah, I'm not sure Brady's beating out Jimmy G in San Francisco.
Maz.
I'm kidding,
thank
Mike.
You.
Okay. I'm kidding.
I just want to make sure of that.
Good heavens.
Angelo Neverett, you co-sign.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, Angelo.
I think he is going to San Fran. I'll tell you why. Because he wants to play with Joe Montana, his idol. I'm telling you right now, and like you just said a minute ago, Bill Belichick will probably say, okay, go to San Fran. He wants to play against Tom Brady to show the world that it takes the coach's brains for the student to learn everything.
Trade Brady straight up for Jimmy Garoppolo?
Right now?
After the year.
No. No. I mean, as much as I love Garoppolo, like the ship has sailed on that one. They've gone to 2 Super Bowls. They won one. They're 7-0. They're going to go to another one. Who's going to beat them? Like, I'm willing to say now that since they traded Garoppolo, they've gone to 3 straight Super Bowls.
Okay, so I didn't mean for this to take over. I mean, but Schefter said what he said last night, and, I think some of the signs this year are pointing towards a last kind of year, whether that's retirement or going somewhere else. We don't need to get stupid. We've gotten calls on Brady to the Raiders. That makes sense. Vegas opening up a brand new stadium there. They're opening up a huge, important new stadium in L.A. The Chargers have no fans, 0, as evidenced by the fact that they get out, drawn by like 90 to 10% from visiting teams. So that would seem to make sense. Let's see how that all plays out, shall we, before we put them on the Tennessee Titans or whatever. Let's see. How about Brandon in the car? Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Hey. I've never heard so many people talk about who gets mic'd up until now. Do the teams really have any say in that?
Sure they do.
I feel as though that might be. I thought that was just something the league says, hey, we're mic'ing this person up. I've never heard of that up until now.
No, I think that someone was saying, maybe the midday, that there are new rules that you have to have someone mic'd up for the broadcast. Okay, but you get to choose, or you get to decline. If they want to mic up your rookie quarterback who's got bigger things to worry about, you're allowed to say no, mic up somebody else. So that's your choice.
I mean, at the end of the day, you just don't put the mic on and you go out there.
Simple.
And if they say, well, you're breaking the rules, then you say, well, then
tough.
Yeah, then fine us. Like, do whatever you're going to do. What are you going to do? Take away the win? Like, you know, so at the end of the day, the network, you know, they can't even come in there and pin the mic on you, for crying out loud, and then you take it off.
That the Jets allowed ESPN to put that mic on Darnold in the first place is all you need to know. It's all you need to know. And everything falls into place perfectly once you realize that. Our final word comes your way next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Mann.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, was in earlier today. I think a swear went over the air, too, when he pulled back and got mad at you, Felger.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. I thought I heard it, but...
Did it slip through?
Yeah, a couple of clips on the internet of him saying this effing place when you made him mad about the cocktail napping thing.
Really?
Yeah, it was very entertaining. But either way, it also means he did the 10-question segment. So here is Greg Bedard, the recap put together by Hardy.
Vegas gives him a 25% chance.
How do you figure?
Well, I just sort of been there at 25 to 1. What does that mean? Okay, number 10, AFC Power Rankings. Top 5 in order, please, big boy.
Pats. Chiefs. Ravens. Colts. Texans.
Okay. What is the most overrated team in the league, Greg?
The Packers. They are, you know, look... They are not that good.
Do you blame KC for playing Mahomes last week, or do you blame them for running him on a quarterback sneak?
Nope, neither.
How should they handle him going forward?
They should shut him down. They're not going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Hold it now!
He's their franchise quarterback for the next decade. Oh! Face of the league for the next decade plus.
Shut him down.
Don't put words in my mouth.
Who would you rather have going forward, big boy? Sam Darnold or Lamar Jackson?
Sam Darnold. I just don't think... I think that Darnold is the better prospect.
Okay, number 6, as we've come to know, the NFL trade deadline is now a thing. We now actually have moves. We have rumors, we have moves, we have movement. It's great, but... Unfortunately, most of the trades are still player for a pick. Team selling on a player, they take a draft pick back. I want player for player trades. So, give me one. Give me a good player for player trade across the league that helps both teams, that makes sense. Player for player. That's the next step.
I have Cam Newton for Kyle Long.
Good one. Question number 3, are you buying on Green Bay?
Hell no. I mean, I think they're okay.
If someone offered you right now, this year, 2 firsts and a 4th for Stephon Gilmore, would you do it?
This is a really good question.
Thank you.
I would do it. I mean, just because... I would do it.
Number 1, Patriots power rankings of the Brady Belichick era. If this team goes 16-0 and then wins a Super Bowl, does that have to be number 1?
Let me see how it goes.
Okay, so and I, the dart killed me. It goes just like that. Really
19
does.
19-0. Yeah, I got to see how that.
No, I just told you how it went.
I got to see how that shakes out.
All right. Is that done? Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Here comes the Sports Vulture and Arcan. What's up there, Jones?
I'm with Tony. I want to see how it goes, too. Yeah. Like, you know, like, are they going to play anyone?
I mean, like, did they just squeak by to 19-0?
Yeah. So, anyway, we're going to react to Mohamed Sanu. I think Bill Belichick has questions about this offense. I know a lot of us have had questions about the offense. As good as the defense is,
and here we go.
As much as fans think.
See what he's doing out there, folks?
Well, I mean, if Bill thought they could win on defense, he wouldn't go add to the offense, right?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I got it.
So Bill doesn't think they can keep winning this way. So he overpaid for a receiver.
Love it. Do you actually like craft this stuff up in your head before you get on the air?
I mean, what? I don't even come in until 6 p.m.
He's got all day to craft up this nonsense.
Seriously,
yeah,
though.
I'm actually under the with no more baseball reporters. I'm now at 1 hour less.
Yeah, it's got to be tough.
Yep.
God, you're worse than me when it comes to that crap.
Bend over, Boston. Here comes Jones. You'll have the Bruins later on tonight. We're back at it tomorrow. Talk some Celtics and NBA kicks off tomorrow. It kicks off tonight. The NBA does Celtics tomorrow.
Good game, too.
So we'll come do that tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll see you then, Anthony.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.